This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome back to Kind of Funny's Pixar in Review. That's right, we are ranking and reviewing every Pixar movie. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by, it's Christmas in August, baby, Joey Noel.
I don't like that it's August. How did it get to be August? How are we here? Isn't it still 2020? Who
Every
knows?
Day is exactly
the only thing I like about it being a new month is then you get a new intro, and that brings me great joy. So I'll take my wins when I can get them. And of course, we have the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
This movie is beautiful looking. Beautiful looking. Gorgeous.
And we also have the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
I'm speed. I'm fast. I'm also slow.
The fucking laugh got me. And of course, Andy is still on vacation out in Texas, so he will not be joining us for this episode, but he will return shortly, I promise you. This is Kind of Funny's In Review, where each and every week we get together to rank and review and recap different movie franchises. We do it twice a week. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny in Review, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free, though, if you want to watch live as we record new episodes, like the new one we're going to do later this week for James Gunn's The Suicide Squad for DCEU in Review, you're going to want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Tom Buck, The Return of the Buck, and Michael G have done. Thank you both so very, very much because you went to Patreon.
Oh, wait, we have new ones that I forgot to send you today, Tim.
Even newer new ones?
We have Steve Powers and Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer.
Whoa, where did they come from? I must have updated this a little too early.
Oh, I did not put them on the list. I just pulled them up right now.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. And because they went to patreon.com/kindoffunny, they're not going to hear the ads that you will later for MeUndies, Faerty, and Upstart. But that's cool. Because today we are talking about Cars 3 with a runtime of 1 hour, 42 minutes. It was released on June 16th, 2017, which means it's the first Pixar film to be released on 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and the only film of 2017 to be rated G. Fun fact.
Really?
Really? Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, it is
Wait,
weird.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because G and PG, different.
Yeah.
But it's the only
PG, they can show one butt shot in PG, right?
The only film like I feel like you need more words. The only Disney film, the only Pixar?
No, just film in
the
general.
The only film of 2017.
Because most films are PG when they're kids' films. G is like I didn't even know they rated stuff G anymore.
But so there was no in all of the movies there was no other G. That can't be true, right?
The only exceptions, and even here, there's not like a confirmed one, but like documentaries wouldn't count. But those are rated differently. But yeah, the only film.
That's an interesting concept. That's really cool.
To be rated G. Cars 3.
That can't be right.
Wow. Can I do it, Tim?
Wow. Go for it. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes. God, I loved it when he pulled up to the big statue with the number.
Yeah.
It was so earned.
So good. I love it.
This was directed by Brian Fee. Number one and two of Cars were both directed by John Lasseter, but he decided to do Toy Story 4 instead of doing this. Mm-hmm. But then eventually he'd get taken off of Toy Story 4 and Josh Cooley would step in. Brian Fee, the director of Cars 3, is an American storyboard artist, animator, prop designer, producer, film director, and occasional voice actor who works for Pixar. Fee made his directorial debut at Pixar with the film Cars 3. Fee has said that the film's animation, to Kevin's point, is, quote, art-directed realism, and it's stated that it causes the film's characters and sets to feel more real and alive than ever before. While Bill Cohn, the film's production designer, said that the term Pixar uses is believability, which is the basis for everything that we do, which is really cool. I like that, and you can totally understand, like, when you look at all their movies. Like, okay, that's the Pixar magic, is the believability factor. True. You merge the story with the art.
I feel like this is the most like insane, realistic one movie that we'll ever get for the Pixar movies, or that we've gotten so far. It's crazy.
Interesting.
Everything, the shine on everything is what really like
everything's glossy, like,
dude. And it's just, when they go cross
so
country,
reflective.
It's almost that issue we were talking about with the last film, where we were like, the environments are almost too real. Like, it looks so.
But this one works because the cars also, like, it's not too far off. Most of the car looks like fairly real. Spot it's just on, the eyes and mouth, you know.
But I think, like, they strike a much better balance in this one, for sure. But I mean, those environments are stunning.
Stunning. Yeah.
Except I was like, the only downside, I was like, what is this song that we're listening to? You know what I mean? It's no life is a highway. It's, I'm just going to put
no
it
no life is a highway. That is true. And speaking of the music in this was done by the one and only, guess who, Nick?
Thomas Newman.
Randy Newman. Thomas's cousin, Randy. Too many Newmans. But yeah, so Randy Newman also did Toy Story 1 through 4, as we know. A Bug's Life, Monsters 1 and 2, Cars 1 and 3. Cars 2 was done by who, Nick?
Thomas Newman.
Michael Giacchino.
Damn it.
Michael Giacchino. There's always the, like, you know, you're rolling the dice.
It's always one of the three of them.
It's a three-way dance, you know?
I want to say Michael Giacchino, but it's... I don't want to say it's like favoritism, you know, like I always want to guess him because he did Star Trek, but you know, what are you going to do?
God, goat, man. A budget of $175 million and a box office of $384 million. Some fun stats for Andy specifically. This film features more than 65 different individual racers, more than the previous films combined. Cars 1 had 36 and Cars 2 only had 11. And the Bechdel test is a measure of the representation of women in fiction, asking whether a work features at least two women who talk to each other about something other than a man. This film passes. Barely. Just barely. Cruise engages in a response with Luis Barnstormer Nash, the retired Piston Cup racer, when the latter says how she, as a female, was not given a number to race. Cruise asks what she did, and Luis's response was that she stole the number. That's it. Kind of surprising. I would have thought this movie would have more, but no. Nah. It passes by the skin of its teeth. Before we go too far.
By the skin of its teeth. Is that the saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never thought of it.
Weird. When you think about the
logic
of it. That's
a weird fucking saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. Joey, what'd you think of this movie?
I liked it better than the second one, but I didn't. It in terms of like the sequel movies we've gotten with like Finding Dory and Monsters University, I think I liked those better. I think I was also partially distracted by how pretty this movie is, where I was just like, there's always something else to look at, which like I don't necessarily feel about any of the other ones. But I missed a lot of like the side characters that we had in one and two. We got some new fun ones, but I feel like I missed a lot of like the core group from especially the first one. I never thought I'd want more Mater after Cards 2, but here I am wishing we had like a little bit more. Overall, I think it's fine. It's not one of my favorites, but I do think that they brought it back after Cards 2, which I don't know if the bar for that was set super, super high or not.
Nick?
I'm kind of with Joe. Like I enjoyed it. I don't think it was a slog to get through, much like I think Cars 2 was sort of like, Cars 2 almost felt like they were trying to insult you. This one, I was like, this is a cool continuation of the story. And I was enjoying it up until the point where I started to realize, I was like, wait a minute, is this movie about him passing the baton to Cruz? And I wrote that in the synopsis. I was like, that'd be really cool if somehow that was what this was about. If it was actually about him realizing that his time as being a racer is over, and his time being a mentor and like a pit crew boss is, that's what he needs to do now. He's going to usher in this new generation. I was like, there's no way they're going to do that. Then I was like, wait a minute, this is Pixar. Maybe they will do that. And by the end of it, I was like, holy shit, this is Creed. I like this movie. I wish it actually hit. I wish a lot of the payoff was there, which it's unfortunately not. But I like the sort of top level version of what this movie stands for. So in that regard, I didn't think it was a waste of time at all.
Simon Coelho.
I think this is very much an okay Pixar film. I think that like graphically it's like stunning. It's very, very good. Obviously, it's a huge improvement to two. But this I put on the like category of like Pixar movies that like kind of have a bad message. Like, you know, like it being about this guy being forced into retirement. It's just kind of a bummer because it's like they never explain like the cars. He's not like getting weaker. They call him old man. They talk about his joints being old.
He's slow.
But like he's not slow. The other fast the cars have gotten have figured out how to move faster. Had he been trained correctly in the beginning of the film, instead of like focusing on him being a geriatric car, like how to like. Hey, you need to focus more on drafting and stuff like that. He might have been able to hit higher speeds.
Yeah, but they hit that. They do that though, right? There was a moment where he
for
does
like
figure
a day and
out.
A half. A day.
Well,
and
no,
a half.
He does it, and he's super excited, but he still realizes that he's just too old and he's too slow. I mean, I like that only because if you follow fighting, there's always that tipping point. There's always that moment where the fighter that you love has that one fight, and you go, "Uh-oh, they're not." Quite there anymore.
Sure.
And then it starts the ticking talk of like there's no getting it back. There just isn't a
but
way
I just,
to get to regain your youth. Well, I there feel is, like, but it's illegal.
Yeah, I feel like the problem is I think that they did a bad job showing him slowing down. Because like I don't know that he slowed down as much as the new cars can go faster. Or I mean it seems like they're smarter about the physics of racing. And that's their advantage.
Well, this is where it's so weird to have cars be humans, right? Where it's
100%.
Like, they're like, are they just better made cars? Or are they like, or is he just like, as the cars age, he's just slower? Like, that is a little confusing, right? Because like, are these just like fucking electric cars that have an engine also that are just way more powerful and he'll never be able to do that? Or is it?
Yeah, I don't think they were.
Yeah.
But I just think that, like it did a bad job nailing that part of the world. Mm-hmm. When Cars 1 and to some extent Cars 2 did such a good job with the world building. So it would have been, I think, better if they had focused on him being like, I can't, my numbers are lowering. But it seemed like everyone else's numbers were going up. And
like that's if he why had pitched, more. If he used to pitch like, or he used to be able to go 210, but
right.
Now he can only go
196. Yeah, he can go 196 or something.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like the training that he did at the end was really good and he needed more of that training.
Yeah.
But he had a bad trainer to begin with because they focused on the wrong things. Like she needed to build him up a little bit faster on going on the track. Instead, she kind of put a huge emphasis on the fact of like, you need to be retiring. I'm not saying that like Ramirez planned this whole thing, but if you watch the film with that, you know, in there, maybe Ramirez is trying to steal his job.
Possible.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with Kevin more. I think I'm higher on this than any of you guys are, but I think they did such a great job. It's such a smart call, not just doing the same story we've seen a million times of, oh, you're too old, so you've grown out of this now. You need to teach the young person. Like, they did a really good job of flipping the story where, like Nick was saying, it's like there is a moment in the film where it's like, oh, shit, it's going to be about her kind of being the star. And we're going to see kind of reverse of what we, not reverse, but again, a loop of what we saw in the first movie of Doc kind of being there for Lightning and Lightning's now going to be there for her. Mm-hmm. But I thought they did a really good job throughout the entire movie of having both characters, Ramirez and Lightning, have really, really, really strong A plots that are arguably the A plot of the movie, depending on the perspective you're looking at. But I think it works equally on both sides, which that to me is the strength of this movie, is that it isn't about him retiring and he doesn't retire at the end. Like, I think to the point of what Kevin's saying, he's still racing and he's still racing with them and he's going to train and he's going to potentially get back there. But I like that they didn't show him getting slowing down or anything like that. It's like, no, he still is at the top of his game. Just the top of his game is a different game than they're playing nowadays. And I think that that is way more apt and realistic to where we're at in the given times, especially when you start looking at what this movie treats as the advancements they have, which is technology focused. And for them being the humans and the cars in one, I think that that goes a long way to really kind of push the narrative of these characters' developments. But on top of that, like, I think that the real point of the movie was more dealing with Ramirez's like the way that she's treated in this and the way that, you know, she is seen as just a trainer because she's a woman. Like, that's very overt. But I think that they did a good job making that as subtle but as obvious as it had to be when you relate it to a lot of the other characters. And that when it all comes together at the end, I like that they're side by side. I like that they're both still racing together. And I like that Lightning's kind of okay not being the number one guy in the group. Shout out to Jax Taylor. But yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, I agree with you for sure. I think it's a stronger story than it would have been if he would have just been old.
You're going to get into the Rocky problems, right? You're going to get into Rocky one, and then Rocky two, you're like, oh, that's cool. And then Rocky three, you're like, okay, he's still just punching harder. And then Rocky four, you're like, oh, he's punching real hard now. And then Rocky five, you're like, oh, fucking, he is double. You know, at a certain point, you need Creed. You need you want to see. It's just more interesting to see that story of the person being like, how do I close this chapter and move into the next chapter of my life? And I thought it was incredibly poignant when there was that moment where he's like, well, no, Doc was really unhappy until you came along. And then he actually found like the true meaning of racing, which was to like, you know, mentor, bring someone else up and like help them win as well, which was, I thought that was pretty cool.
And I thought the car crash was so fucking poignant. And like the way that he pushed himself, you know, like he pushed himself too hard. And it's not because he was too slow or like slowing down. It's because he was trying to go as fast as they were, and he couldn't do it. They couldn't handle it. And I love the way that they had that, where it's like there was like a genuine like, oh no, this sucks. And what I think Cars 3 does really well is I think of it way more like we talk about Pixar sequels. And last week I was praising how Finding Dory, I feel like, has found this cool niche that Monsters University did as well, that it's like sequels don't necessarily need to reinvent the wheel or be deeper than they have to be. Just like they can just be good movies with characters we like. I think Cars 3 is more than that. I think it's more like a Toy Story sequel, that it really found a new level of heart that the franchise hasn't even hit yet. And it reminds me more of the Toy Story 3 type movie than it does a Monsters University or a Finding Dory. It's because the heart's there, the character's there, and where the movie leaves us, I'm like, I am happy we had this, and I think that it's a perfect end to the Cars franchise until they come back with Cars 4 eventually, just like they did Toy Story 4. But exactly. I love the way that this ends, and I feel like this works really well as a Pixar movie in the ways that I always talk about, with that magic, with that deeper meaning, with like a really strong story and character development that is like, damn, there's something special in the water over in Emeryville. But I do agree at the end of the day that like it is still kind of stuck, and the it being a sequel to other things, especially now two movies, I feel like that's where the movie's at its weakest, because dealing with the supporting cast, it's really weird that Sally's in it for like 2 minutes totally. And in total for the whole movie, and it just kind of, they make some interesting choices with the supporting cast, and like it almost feels retconny in a way that I just don't appreciate. That it doesn't necessarily feel like this being the third movie is enhancing the experience of this standalone installment the way that Toy Stories do, that you see the cast and you're like, oh, this is where they're at now. This very much is like, here's where Lightning McQueen is at now, and Doc.
Yeah,
everyone else doesn't really matter, and like that isn't as fun.
Yeah, I think if we would have gotten a stronger Cars 2, that this would feel like a much better movie. But because they're trying to like fix things and like kind of readjust, it doesn't feel as smooth as the Toy Story. I don't know. What do you call a series of four movies? It's not quadrilogy. A trilogy. It's a
quadrilogy.
But even just the original trilogy, like, I think that, yeah, there is just like it's not a clean story or like evolution over the three movies.
But, you know, what I like about this is this feels like a Pixar movie, whereas Pixar 2 or Cars 2 did not feel like a Pixar movie. That felt like something that a different studio would have put out, because it was fun and zany and definitely for kids. This is a pretty adult movie for kids to wrap their heads around, right? Like, to Kevin's point, I guess it's kind of not Kevin's point, but like I don't, this is not what I would think kids' fare would be. I think it's kind of a complex thing to deal with, but kudos to them for doing it. And that's, I think, why I like Pixar, because I think if I were a kid watching this film, I'd be like, I'm actually getting something out. I don't know if I understand this completely, but if what you're saying is one day I'm going to be 41 years old and all the young people you work with are going to make fun of you a lot, but keep a stiff upper lip, then I guess I understand that.
Keep racing, Nick. Just keep racing. Let's get to the plot.
No, so I think the whole point is you got to learn when to stop. You know what I mean, Nick? Just takes minutes.
I think the point is I get to sit on the podium and scream in all your ears and be like, oh, remember, you're a fluffy cloud, Kevin. You're a fluffy cloud. Please tell us the story. Good night. And please tell us the story. I love you, Seattle. Cars 3, life's a beach, and then you drive. Tim?
It got me.
That's right. They made 3 of these movies. Okay, focus. I am Speed. I eat losers for breakfast. Lightning prepares for his next race, and he remembers the time he spent with Doc Hudson. He can't help but laugh and smile a little bit. And then big old John Ratz asks him if he's ready, and he looks up at a picture of Doc Hudson and says, "This one's for you, Doc." Cal and Lightning. I like this whole vibe where it's like all of his competitors, but they're all like homies. And like he's messing with Cal, although Cal gets screwed over a little bit here. Because Tex and Dinah Carr kind of dicks to him. Like, Cal, if I were you, I would just go to a different team. And or maybe the lower league where you can just fucking dominate for the rest of your life. They mess with each other as Lightning continues to dominate the racetrack. They blow up his tires and all that stuff. And it's interesting because a lot of the stuff is then mirrored later in the pictures we see of Cruz rising to her fame and to her level of winning races, and everyone's kind of like doing the same shenanigans over there and just kind of signaling like, hey, maybe the new class is similar to the old class. They're, you know, they might have had a sharper edge on it when they were taking out the old man, but now that everyone's on an equal playing field, they're pretty cool. Storm. Until Jackson Storm screams by Lightning and Cal. Storm is kind of a dick to Lightning and makes a bunch of jokes about Lightning's age, and then goes to his Hue Light cool imbued truck to listen to his dubstep. And you can tell it hurts deep down, even though he smiles through it and continues to narrate this podcast.
This moment here, Nick, Gia literally said, "That's cool." And I had to stop and pause and look at her and be like, "I fucking changed you."
Yeah, you did.
Holy hell.
You really did. Chick is back as well. And I guess at this point, this is where Michael Keaton's career really started taking off, because they did not get him back for this role. Natalie Certin is there, and she is a statistical analyst. And she tells the audience that Jackson is part of the next gen of high-tech racers. He achieves the speed by crunching the numbers. And this season is about to get even more interesting. 6 more next-gen rookies join the race, and Storm just keeps on winning. He's too high-tech. He even has one of those racing seats that Kevin has in his closet. Storm wins 1 billion races in a row, and McQueen is overwhelmed by the reporters when they tell him Cal Weathers is retiring. He says, "I asked my uncle when I'd know it was time." And he was like, "Cal, you're going to retire?" And Cal said, "Yeah, I asked my uncle when I'd know when it was time to stop. You know what he said? The youngsters will tell you." To which I reply, "Put on some earplugs, buddy, and just keep on keeping on. They can't stop you.
Life is a highway, Nick.
If they can't catch up to you, they can't stop you." And with that, Cal goes off to car heaven. Bobby and Rick also get shit canned, and soon Lightning finds himself outnumbered by the next gen cars. He musters up all his resolve and takes off for their first lap in the final race of the season. And this part's a little long. I could have shaved a little bit off this time, I think. But McQueen pits fast, but Jackson Storm easily takes back the lead, and he fades to fourth. He pushes it to the limit, and his back tires give, sending him tumbling off the track into a pile of twisted metal.
This is happening, you're like, "Wow, that's violent.
He's dead."
And then you have a moment where you're like, "That's his body. Yeah, like, that is dead. His life that is flipping. He's not in this car. He is the car."
That's him. Yeah. He's dead. 4 months later, the next season is starting, and no one has heard from Lightning. Are his racing days over? Is the big question on everyone's lips. He sits in Doc's old garage with a new primered paint body. It's not quite ready yet. And he watches old race footage of the Hudson Hornet drifting to first, but he loses control and crashes. The animation here is freaking awesome. I love seeing all the animation through that like old timey like filter of the film and all the grain and stuff like that. It looks really cool. Also, just the way they animate the cars here is really, it's just so fascinating how they can meld those two together and still have it work. He remembers Doc's reasoning for never going back from the first film. He said, "When I finally got put together, I went back expecting a big welcome. And you know what they said? You're history. There was a lot left in me. I never got a chance to show it." Of course, that he also goes on to mention a little bit about,
I have something to say.
There was a new generation of people and they just totally forgot about him. Joey from Kind of Funny.
I think another thing that kind of throws me off about this movie is that we find out that Doc dies in the second movie. At the very beginning, right? Mm-hmm. But then we go like almost that entire movie with nothing about it. And then we get all of this, like him working through everything. And that's, I think, part of what makes it feel weird and disjointed too. Cause it's like, it feels like we're retreading something that's, we already have known it's happened, but we've never actually processed like in this cinematic world. And so I don't know. There's something about that that like felt weird to me.
Well, it's because second movie was just lame. It didn't happen. Like this should be the second movie of the series or the third.
Did he die in the second movie because the actor died? Was that the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he dies before the second movie, right? The second
in
movie starts.
Wasn't too. In the second.
He's
dead.
Yeah. Right.
He passed away.
The second film is not completely retconned, though. The film has several references to the events of Cars 2. They include Doc Hudson's death, his medical office being converted into a museum, Lightning McQueen's newly installed headlights, an appearance by Jeff Gorvette at the final race of the movie.
Jeff Gorvette.
And a picture of Miles Axelrod in Sterling's office, and a television screen showing John and Nancy, the two cars in Paris, kissing. Kevin?
I just wanted to say very briefly, the scene where we're watching the Doc Hudson accident, I wasn't able to talk at that moment, but like, holy shit, that looked like that was even more live action-y than anything else in the movie, right? Because like, there are certain moments where it looks like the CG is just insane. It looks so good. It was cool to rewatch that. And yeah, anytime these cars are in accidents, like, that's insane how brutal it looks. But then later, people get spoilers added, like it's not a big deal, but that would be similar, like that seems like weird, right?
What do you mean?
Ramirez later, they add a spoiler to the back of her hood.
Yeah, but it's
you mean like in terms of adding things to the cars?
Yeah.
Like it's traumatic, like a surgery?
Yeah, right.
They wear hats.
Just in the head,
You get a little hat. You put a little hat on. Take a hat
but
on.
But like them switching out the tires and stuff doesn't feel. I guess they're removable.
Shoes. Yeah, those are shoes. Yeah, like the spoiler is, not only is it like aesthetically a thing, it also will like it'll increase your drag in a beneficial way to make it so you have more traction, which will make you faster if you're not. It's not too much. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's a performance enhancing surgery.
That's true.
There's a lot of holes in this
whole
universe.
There's a lot of things going on, but we're gonna drift on past that as we continue with the plot. Lightning knows he can't do the same old thing. Sally interrupts him and tells him it's time to try something new. Stop being afraid of failure. You have the chance. Doc didn't. Time to start training. And he goes, I decide when I'm done. Lightning, of course, addresses everyone and tells them he's going to keep racing. If I'm going to be faster than the storm, I need to train like him. His sponsors made him a brand new Rusty's Racing Center in Florida. And Ramon gives him a new paint job. I love anytime he gets a new paint job, too, because it's like cool. Like
sparkles
and stuff. Off we go with a song I've never heard and never care to hear again. They travel across the country, and it's stunning. And they arrive at the Rusty's Center to a flurry of paparazzi. At the center of the center is number 95, Lightning's number. The whole thing has been built around him. Lightning asks his old sponsors how they did it all. It turns out he's like, we sold it so that we could give you everything you needed. It's a very sweet moment for two characters that I've never thought of before and will never feel think about it again.
The two brothers from Car Talk? Like, I was so happy to hear their voices again.
Oh, is that who they were?
Is that who they are?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think one of them died not too long after this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they mean nothing to me.
Oh, Jesus. That's not true. That's not true. You're so full of shit. I'm going to go free film my water.
While we're here, a couple facts. Talking about Joey with the death of Doc and how that was dealt with the two. I hadn't seen two. I saw Cars 1, then I saw Cars 3, and it worked so much better. Where it's just like, you know, the Cars 3, it's like, okay, he died in between these movies, and that makes so much more sense. So I was like, watch it that way. Guys, don't watch Cars 2.
Yeah.
But some cool facts about Doc, though, and in some of the flashback scenes that we see of Doc, of which there's a whole bunch of them, obviously Paul Newman died, so they couldn't get new lines from him. So some of it's lines from the first movie, but some of it is actually lines, including the line, you might want to take notes on this one, is dialogue used from the video game adaptation of Cars, in which Paul Newman did the voice. So that's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like Harry would have... talking about using unused New Hope footage for Rogue One, which is really cool. And then talking about the drive that Mac does through the whole countryside and stuff. Mac drives through Arlo's family farm from The Good Dinosaur. So that's one of the fun little references there. And other Pixar things just to get out of the way here. On Sterling's door next to his office, A113 is printed on the glass. Not only did it appear in the office door, it also appears on Shannon Spoke's right side and Mater's license plate. And the Pizza Planet truck appears during the demolition race. which is kind of fun. Like, it's actually in the demolition race.
Yeah, you see its little rocket get knocked out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what they pick up. The kids pick it up, right?
Yeah. That's and then when Cruz Ramirez is training the new millennial cars on the treadmills, she plays music for one car to remind him of home and shows him a scene on the television. The scene is from Coco. And the car comes from St. Cecilia, where Coco took place. And the guitar of Ernesto de la Cruz can be seen hung on the wall behind the band playing in the Cotter Pin Bar at Thomasville.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Because this came out before Coco. So they must have transformed it. Yeah, transformed.
They had a plan. They had a plan. Unlike me, I like to wing it. Sterling comes in, played by, of course.
No. You can't say wing it that way. There's no H. There's no H in wing it. Wing it is what he said.
Why not?
Why not, Kevin? Who are you? Oh, wait, that works. Sterling, of course, comes in, and Nathan Fillion plays him, and he's awesome. He says, "Low light."
He's so good,
pretty cool. But he also might be the bad guy here. We're not quite sure. Lanny tells the brothers he's going to miss driving for them, and they bid him a fond farewell. It's actually a very poignant moment. Turns out Sterling is a really big fan of lightnings and has been forever. He gives him a new electric suit and tours him through this cool museum he had, including all the racetracks and stuff that Doc used to race at. And he's like, "I've been a fan of yours forever. I own a pair of your underwear from when you were 19 years old." Ooh. Anyway,
they don't have
cars don't wear underwear, but they do race on tracks.
They're commando all day, you know.
If they did wear underwear, do you think it would be like on the bottom, or do you think it would be on the back?
No, it'd be wrapped around the axle,
right around his front. It'd probably be
the axle.
Perfect.
Turns out this place has everything, including the virtual reality and the racing sim that Kevin has in his closet, and everyone's super excited about it because Lightning's like, "This is it. All I need is the virtual reality sim thing, and I'm good to go." Those two different things. Lightning spots Cruz Ramirez crushing it on the sim, and he's like, "Oh, she's a really good racer." But it turns out she's not a racer; she's the lead trainer. And he's like, "Oh, you should be a racer." And she's like, "No. We'll get to that in the third act." Sterling introduces Lightning to Cruz, but she doesn't see him. All she sees is a broken down piece of meat. And he's like, "Oh, I get it. We're going to start with the old jokes now, huh? That's cool. How long can I last? How many months of this in quarantine can I take before I ball up under my desk and cry myself to sleep with my cute little heater that I got for free?" It's right there.
Because you get so cold.
I get so cold, Kevin.
You get so cold.
The circulation, you know, cold. Just not the same as it used to be.
Joey, do you know what it actually is? It's that he gets his Diet Coke too cold, and then he holds them and gets himself real cold.
Wait, true. You get your Diet Coke too cold?
Too cold.
Could you just use less ice?
You see how much? He could. He probably would better than the diet.
But am I a monster? Do you want it to be cold or lukewarm? Tim, you ever had a lukewarm LaCroix? And you would just spit it back into the can and throw it at the face of the person.
Nick, have you thought about getting an insulated cup?
I've legitimately thought about wearing Chili's. Those like thermals underneath my clothes.
You seem like extreme.
Just get an insulated cup.
Correct me. I see him looking at me.
Nick, get an insulated. Also, those are called thermals or Long Johns.
There's a brand of them called Chili's that are Long Johns. Long Johns is what I was looking for, but they call them Chili's because
we get back to the plot.
Because they keep you warm.
Let me tell you about our sponsors.
Thank you.
This show is brought to you by MeUndies. You know how when you're in a nerve-wracking situation and people say, "Imagine everyone in their underwear to make yourself feel comfortable." As if imagining a room full of strangers down to their skivvies is what makes us feel comfy. MeUndies believes comfort does not start with imagining, but instead it starts with actual comfort. MeUndies designs limited edition prints all the time so you can express yourself every single day. Building your undie collection and picking out which lucky pair gets to meet your butt for the day has never been so fun. Choose prints with corgis, chicken nuggets, your zodiac sign, goofy puns, and more. MeUndies also releases collabs with some pretty big names like the Rolling Stones and Space Jam, A New Legacy. But you have to grab them fast because once they're gone for good. Kinda Funny loves MeUndies. You've heard The Voice talk about them for years. They're comfort with good designs that make your friends jealous. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. We're also brought to you by Faherty Brand. Can it be? It's finally summer, and we're actually going to have a real summer this year. So naturally, we've started thinking about looking good after a year and some change, because we're going places. This summer is what Kinda Funny is calling Hot Boy Summer. You saw the jean jacket, you see the haircut, we're doing it big this summer. And that's where Faherty comes in. They make the perfect clothes for the summer. Tim Geddes is the most stylish person I know, and he even loves Faherty Brand clothing. And they're so confident in the quality of their stuff, they have a lifetime guarantee of quality. They'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. And to top it all off, Faherty is giving our listeners 20% off. That's right, 20% off. So stock up on all of your clothes for summer now. Head to FahertyBrand.com and use code MORNING at checkout to snag 20% off all your summer gear. That's code MORNING at Faherty. That is FAHERTY brand.com for 20% off. Last but not least, we're brought to you by Upstart. If you're carrying a credit balance month after month, it can feel like you're in a never-ending cycle of debt. Upstart can help you make that final payment so you can get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your credit card debt with a personal loan all online. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/KFMB. That is upstart.com/KFMB. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/KFMB.
The plot is a little bit generous, Tim.
Okay, let's get back to the thermals.
Of course, Cruz also grew up watching Lightning. She calls him her senior project, and it hurts. I can tell you it hurts. Cruz puts Lightning through a new regimen, which includes some nap time, which at first he was like, I don't need a nap. And then he goes and takes a nap, and take it from me, it's nice to have a midday nap. I had one today.
I did too.
But all Lightning wants to do is train in the simulator. It's like, when am I in that simulator? She's like, you are not ready for it yet. There's no shortcuts. She wants him to work up to the simulator, but Lightning doesn't listen to her, and he does it anyway, and then he eats it real hard. Cruz gets a talking to by Sterling, but he's not mad at Lightning. He wants to turn him into a brand. He's not actually going to race Lightning, and this is the main point of conflict here. Sterling was excited the Lightning was coming back, but his speed and performance just aren't there. Your racing days are coming to an end. Every time you lose, you damage yourself. It's time to cash in. Damage the brand, you mean? The racing is the reward, says Lightning. He wants to go old school and get his tires dirty on Fireball Beach. He's going to be the comeback story of the year. So they strike up a deal. If Lightning loses in Florida, he's done. But if he wins, he gets to decide when he's done racing. On one condition, Cruz is coming with you. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll take her with. So life's a beach, and then you drive. They head out over to the beach, and Cruz wants to go high tech and use a MacBook Pro, but Lightning just wants to get his tires dirty. Quicker than quick, faster than fast, I am speed. That's what I'm going to say about Tim from now on. When Tim starts moving fast, I'm like, ooh, he is speed. Cruz can only track Lightning with Hamilton. Tim, how fast do you think I need to see you moving before I start calling you Lightning McTim?
Oh, not fast at all. I'll take it, dude. I love it.
Oh my god. Let's see. But Cruz has to stay close, and she can as she can to him, so that she can track his speed with Hamilton. But she doesn't actually know how to race on dirt outside of the simulator. So Lightning teaches her, and you get the feeling that Lightning's journey is actually to be a mentor to the new generation. At least I kind of hope that's where the story's going. That's what I wrote here.
You don't get the feeling that she's slowing down his training. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of what I get
because
the feeling of.
I sort of like, I think the way they set this up in the first act, I started thinking like, I don't think he's going to win this race at the end. I think that's what this is going to be. The second I saw her crushing on the simulator and like going 210 miles an hour, whatever it was, I was like, I think this movie is going to be about her. And I was pleasantly surprised to be right on that one. I'm not always right, Tim. Usually about 99% of the time. But that 1% of the time does come out of nowhere. And I just pretend like I was right.
Nowhere.
You couldn't have just let it go at the beginning,
no,
Kevin.
Too far.
You're right, Joey. I couldn't.
He couldn't. After a whole day of training, Cruz finally gets it, but Lightning only tops out at 196 miles per hour. Beast training ain't going to cut it. He needs to race against actual racers at Thunder Hollow, but he gets all muddied up and alongside Cruz starts the Crazy Eight race over at Thunder Hollow under a pseudonym that I forgot to write down, but it was something like Mattress McPants or something like that.
You nailed it. Matrix McPants is what it was.
Fucking the Thunder Dome, Kevin.
Something they don't even have in their world.
They got mad. They sleep on mattresses, right? Don't they do something like they?
Put I don't think so. Services? I think that we've seen them in the hotel. Yeah, they sleep in garages. Have
their tires. I guess their tires.
They also never wear pants.
They don't need to wear pants.
That's right. Mattress McPants is a terrible name. But I understand you're trying your hardest.
Is it? It was Human McHeart. Is that what it was? Human McHeart? No. Okay.
I don't remember what it was.
Let's see. Miss Fritter.
Nothing as good as though as. Mid-sized sedan and old, which I know is not part of this, but still one of the best character names that have ever existed.
I mean, that name is absurd, right?
Like, it's so good.
We spent so little time talking about how absurd that name is for like a character in any movie or show.
No, it was perfect. There's a rapper character in Old Nick that his rap name is Mid-sized Sedan.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
God bless. Go watch Old in theaters now.
That's pretty
cool.
Don't
go watch Old.
This shit, it turns out, is Thunderdome, and they won't let Lightning or Cruz leave. Last car standing wins. Lightning gives Cruz a real quick lesson on drifting as cars get taken out one by one. Then we get Miss Fritter, who has Cruz dead to rights, but Lightning intervenes, stopping, getting a stop sign lodged in his rear tire for his efforts. She says, "You're about to feel the wrath of the Lower Bellevue Unified School District." And Lightning dodges last minute, and Cruz wins the race. But a run-in with a water trunk reveals Lightning's true appearance, and it is very embarrassing. Everyone's like, "Lightning McQueen, what are you doing here?" Tim McSpeed, what was it, Tim? Damn it, I lost it already. Lightning McTim?
Mattress McTim.
Lightning McTim.
His name was Chester Whipplefilter.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it was. There it is. Cruz is excited that she finally won a race. She's like, "This is my first trophy ever," but Lightning freaks out because he's spinning his wheels and can't get any faster because he's too busy taking care of her. He says, "If I lose, I never get to do this again. If you were a racer, you'd understand that you're not." And then he accidentally breaks her trophy to add insult to injury, and she lays it all out for him. She's like, "You think I put all that work in here? I think I got up and I raced all the time when I was a little kid just to be a trainer?" She wanted to become a racer forever because of Lightning. "Dream small, Cruz. That's what my family used to say. Dream small or not at all. But I was the fastest kid in town." That was terrible. "When I got to my first race, I figured it out. I didn't belong. I didn't look like everyone else. The other racers were bigger and stronger and more confident than me." So she left, and it was her one shot, and she didn't take it. And what was it like for you when you showed up? She asks Lightning. I thought this was a really poignant moment. She says, "What was it like for you when you showed up for your first race? How did you know you could do it?" And he said, "I guess I just never thought I couldn't."
Holy shit.
"I wish I knew what that felt like."
So good.
Real good.
That was good.
But so earlier there are other racers that are women, right? Like we've only seen one.
And she tells the story of how she was like, they were like, they didn't want her to.
She didn't feel like she fit in.
No, she didn't. But she just told them all to F themselves and like did it anyway. And then became like a crusher, which is awesome. But that's kind of the trajectory for Cruz here as well. Lightning watches a news report. The Jackson Storm set a lap record at 213 miles an hour. Chick also rips on Lightning for the mud racing thing. Natalie gives McQueen a 1.2% chance of winning. And Chick knows his career stuck in the mud. Later Lightning calls.
I was just gonna say, them setting up Chick as this like asshole,
love it,
like news guy, or not even news, like what, you know, sports commentator. Center,
yeah,
is so brilliant because it's like, "Oh, you remember him? He's the asshole." And like, does he brag about his victory where Lightning McQueen lets him win? It's like he totally does, and that was very funny.
I like, I wish they got Michael Keaton back for it there. I'm not crazy, right? Michael Keaton was the original voice for this.
Michael Keaton was a voice, but I thought it was the other guy. Let me look. I'll do some digging.
Chick, but I could be wrong. Look up that while I go through the whole rigmarole.
You're correct. Bob Peterson is Chick Hicks, who formerly was Michael Keaton.
That would have been badass. They could have just gotten Michael Keaton back, but I get it. You don't need a fucking
Howard. What was Michael Keaton doing in 2017?
Being an awesome, probably being Spider-Man.
Being fucking awesome.
Oh, I guess that's true. I guess he was.
At this point, he had made his resurgence. He had done like Birdman. He was like back at it. So
yeah.
What can you do? I mean, you can't have it both ways, Joey.
Yeah, but I want like Michael Keaton to be happy. Just so you know, like I feel like Michael Keaton's career was quiet for long enough that he knows when to take a role. I'm sure
that something was like blocking this from happening.
It must have been like, Dumbo.
Yeah, but like, how
fuck, was Michael, he in Dumbo?
Mike, we need you to Starbucks was he in Dumbo?
That movie's terrible.
More. Oh, I never watched it.
Oh, so bad, Nick. Oh, Dumbo so bad.
Cry. I believe
this
Kevin.
One won't. This one won't.
Lightning calls Mater to hear a friendly voice, and here's what's happening. Just kind of check in to see what's happening back home. Mater's like, what's going on? I was like, you know, I don't even want to talk about what's going on with me. I want to hear what's going on back home. And he confides in Mater that he's thinking about retiring. He says, if anything, I've gotten slower, not faster. Mater has nothing for him. Thank God they did a spinoff series with this character. Lightning wishes he could talk to Doc, and Mater brings up Smokey. He's like, why don't you go to the guy that taught Doc, Smokey? And he's like, great idea. Lightning catches up to Cruz, who quits as his trainer. She's like, I'm not going with you. I quit. And he goes, great. That means you have plenty of time to go with me and go find Smokey. And then she's like, I'm not going to do it. And then he does the old regiment thing where he's like, I'll do all of the calisthenics you want me to do. And it's endearing. And she's like, fine, I'll go with you.
It's fucking perfect. I like, this is such a great moment. I loved the little calisthenics thing in the beginning, but having Owen Wilson perform his version of it and wow. The little animation of the dance he was doing, I'm like, this is just great. He's like, back it up, back it up. Good like for you.
Let's see. Lightning talks her into coming to anyway, they go to Thomasville to check out the raceway of the greatest racer ever. And he goes, wow, if this track could talk. And then Lightning and Cruz take a lap and they both drift. And it's a good moment. And it's interrupted, of course, by Smokey, played by the venerable Chris Cooper, who we'll all remember from every freaking Jason Bourne movie and
American Beauty.
Beauty, thank you.
different yeah, movies. Yeah, very, very, very different beauty.
Then they head over to a sports bar. He's like, I bet you guys are thirsty or hungry or whatever. And there's some people that want to meet you. They head over to the sports bar to talk to the legends of old school racing, including one Margot Martindale, who, if you watched BoJack Horseman, will hold a special place in your heart. They all know
Kevin,
why later.
Kevin Coelho from Kind of Funny.
And how old are these fucking cars? Why is Doc dead? Like, these guys seem totally fine.
I don't know why any cars die, Kevin.
Right? Because
technically, you it's could just odd. Replace all the parts, and you've got the sure. ship of Theseus.
The ship of the Theseus. We all saw that one show recently.
Exactly. Which one was that?
No.
No.
WandaVision, you fucks.
WandaVision, thank you.
Okay. Follow up.
He got
follow
us.
Up.
He got us. He got us.
Wait, you said Vikings, and I was thinking, I was like, I know. I was thinking, actually, it was nowhere close to that.
So, the Michael Keaton thing was because he was filming
Dumbo?
The movie we all thought, not Dumbo, Spider-Man Homecoming. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he was like, this, screw you guys. I'm in a Marvel movie now. I'm back. Daddy's back. Back,
baby. I was Porco Rosso.
And
then
he was like this, and he's like, oh, he was Porco Rosso. That's right. Do you think at some point he was like this? I'm going to parlay this back into the fucking bat suit. And everyone's like, there's no way you're going to do it, man. There's no way you're going to do it.
You know what? It's going to fucking happen, man. It's Flash 2022. Let's go.
Hell yeah, it is. We'll see. They all know why Lightning is there. He's looking for his lost mojo. And they tell him the old stories about racing. Life's too short to wait for an invitation. Is what Margot Martindale tells Cruz. And Smokey tells the story of when the rookie showed up. He's like, later that night, Lightning asks Smokey for help. I guess the story of the rookie showing up also, I guess that was the story of Doc doing the flip over move, which is going to come back later. Later that night, Doc asked Smokey for help. He said, I'm losing Florida. It's over for me. What happened to Doc? What happened to me? Racing was the best part of his life. When it ended, we both know he was never the same after that. Important to say. But it turns out Doc was really down in the dumps after he couldn't race anymore. For 50 years, he didn't talk to Smokey. And then Lightning rolled into his life, and coaching Lightning made him happy again. Racing wasn't the best part of Hud's life. You were, is what Smokey tells him. Hud saw something in you that you didn't even see in yourself. Are you ready to go find it? And he's like, yeah, I am ready to go find it, Smokey. Lesson one, you're old. And he's like, Jesus H. Christ, could you sugarcoat some of this shit for me? You'll never be as fast as Storm, but you can be smarter than him. Cruz steps in as a sparring partner and spray paint. I don't know why they didn't just like decal like with like some sort of sticker or whatever, but they paint her Storm so she can be the sort of sparring partner. And they cut out her muffler. She sounds decal. Super dope. I mean, like, but they can just paint. I guess they just paint her again.
People do you think they fast. Put the so cutting off the muffler didn't seem painful at all. They just went in there and chopped off a piece that is connected to her exhaust.
No, you're missing the point, Kevin. It's like when you wrap a couple rubber bands around your finger, you forget about it, and you're like, holy shit, that hurts. And then you rip
no, they
off,
lifted
like,
her
oh,
up and they
great.
Cut it off, right? Like we see it fall down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like you take your shoes off, you're faster.
Aerodynamic.
Take your belt off.
Toes on the ground.
Take your belt off. You can eat more.
That is true. I've done that one. I've done that one.
They start training like Rocky, but instead of chickens, they're tractors. But there's a bunch of stuff here that, they do that's going to come back later. Smokey tells him it's time to start drafting. Excuse me. You got to look for opportunities when they present themselves. Sneak through the window. Then they race in the dark, just like when Bodie and Johnny served night surfed in Snowback Mike's number one all-time favorite action movie, Point Break. Lightning finally gets the hang of it and overtakes Cruz. But thoughts of his last race still haunt him, and Cruz takes the checkered flag. And he's like, damn it, no matter how hard I try, I'll never be fast enough. Oh, well, I guess I'll go off to Florida and race anyway. And he thanks everyone for helping him.
That's right. Quit when things get hard, kids. That's what Pixar is telling you to do.
No, they're saying that once you're done,
it's fucked up.
Don't push yourself to the limits, man. You got to just step aside.
This isn't the first time. Remember in Incredibles, they're like, if you're not born special, don't try to act special.
But everyone can cook.
Not everyone can cook.
Anyone can cook.
While we're on that,
cook can come from anywhere. The end thing was.
But it turns out,
Nick, there's a fan on my eyes, and it keeps making me tear up, like the problem you have sometimes. And this is weird because this has never happened to me before.
I'm sorry.
You want to like move the fan?
No, I like it on my face, Joey.
Speed. I am Speed, and it's more of a question this time. Lightning doesn't really quite believe in himself. Mater and the team show up, and Sally tries to cheer him up, but it does not work. Then Storm talks some massive shit to Cruz, and the fire rises in Lightning. Smokey tells him to focus on what he came there to do, and off we go. Lightning fights his way up the ranks, and he overhears Sterling telling Cruz to head back to the training center because she's a trainer, not a racer, and Lightning finally puts it all together. Out of nowhere, a wreck happens in turn two, and Lightning tells his pit he needs Cruz. He goes, go get Cruz. Go get Mike. Today is the day. Cruz, I started this race, and you're going to finish it. It's kind of a big moment here, so I won't speed through this, but she ends up coming back, and he's like, Sterling's like, she's just a trainer. He goes, no, she's a racer. Just took me a while to see it. And then I was like this, I don't think this is how racing works, but it turns out the only rules that you have to have are the same number has to be out there. Doesn't say it has to be the same car. I'm pretty sure
I don't know, but that seems like some shit that they just made up for convenience.
I don't think you can. I think you have to qualify as a racer, but I guess if you're the car, like, who cares? I don't know. It's very strange.
I guess, is the racing about the car or is the racing about the racer?
Well, I'm pretty sure in real NASCAR, as long as the car's there, either me or Kevin could just jump in and take a couple laps. No one would say anything.
Yeah, no one would say anything.
I don't think it matters. I mean, there's so many fucking laps in NASCAR anyway. People are like, oh, cool, a new person. Something else to watch as they go round and round in a circle for 200 fucking laps.
You just have to have a really cool racing
500
name.
Laps.
Oh, Jesus. Is that it? I just pass out after 200.
I didn't realize that Army Hammer was Jackson Storm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lost it. Where'd it go? There it is. The rules. Pretty sure this is not legal, but Ramon comes in with a dope paint job, and Cruz asks why he's doing this. She says, this might be your last chance. He goes, which makes it my last chance to give you your first chance. And this time I want you to take it. It's going to be the best. He's like, but you got to beat that pace car right now. So it's
makes no sense. Just by the way, it makes no sense. My last time to give you your first chance. Wait, I mean, that's not true.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's got a lot of pull. I'm sure that he can give her first chance next time. It doesn't matter. He's a fucking loser, and he should learn when to give up.
Listen, man.
Kevin in the sense that I didn't love that line. It didn't, like, hit super well for me.
This is, like, a huge platform. It's like, yeah, you could have done it at a different time, but this is, like, his supposedly goodbye race.
But also, there's a better way they could have finessed that sentiment. Without this is the last chance to give you here for I don't know I didn't like it
it's stupid
well it's because if movie. He yeah I mean I don't know I can see we can split hairs but you're all dead inside me and Tim are right
I mean I'm just tired of stupid Pixar telling kids that they need to give up when they're too old.
Listen,
it's not the point of this at all.
Or you could just bring people in.
It's a technicality. He's never racing again.
He is racing again.
We see the future. He's never racing again. He's a pit boss. He's got his headphones on. He's sitting there.
No.
Life's a highway.
It's fine.
It also means that your dream can change, you know? Like,
yeah.
Big dream. That's right, very kids. Realistic. Settle on less. Settle with less. No, that's what they told Ramirez.
Go out there today and they go, I'm going to go to college and someone's going to pay me a lot of money. And I'm going to
instead, they're like, well, I got 2 years in and dropped out. It'll be all right. Let's do this YouTube thing with my friends.
Yeah. Oops.
Keep going harder, guys.
Now you're stuck here. Let's see. She got to make that pace car. Now or never, Cruz burns out. And off we go. Lightning talks through Smokey, but at a certain point, Smokey's just like, you know what? This is on you, man. Here's the radio. You got to do this. I can't do this. And so
I'm tired of trying to communicate these statements that I don't understand with these code names that I don't understand.
They were great.
I thought it was so funny. I loved it. I think it was so cute.
Yeah, I thought it was good too. All the crabs have gone to sleep. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Remember Thomasville sneak through the window. She gets her head in the game. And before you know it, Lightning and Cruz are in the zone together as Pit Boss and Racer. Cruz picks them off one by one and soon enough starts nipping at the leader's tails. But Storm's like, spots are coming and drops back to get in her head. He says, you can play dress up all you want, but you can never be one of us. And then Cruz, very, very disheartened by this, but Lightning's like, are you kidding? Do you know what just happened? You got in his head. You got in his head. He sees something in you you didn't see in yourself. You made him believe it. Now you got to believe it too. You are a racer. Use that. Just like she echoing her words from earlier, use that. Cruz gets all up on Storm and drafts his ass. She tries to pass on the outside lane, but Storm pushes her into the wall. And he says, you don't belong on this track.
That Cruz must remembers be an illegal move, right?
Never touched the wall. No, you can slam people into the wall in racing, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think I believe that.
There's
that
an old
at all.
Saying, Kevin, Rubbin's racing. You know where I got that from? Days of
Thunder. Made it up right now on your spot?
That'd be cool if I did. I'm not that creative. I steal everything from the late, great Robert Duvall. Cruz gets all up in there. She's like, you don't belong in this track. Cruz remembers how Doc never touched a wall unless he wanted to. And she says, yes, I do. With that, she pulls a Top Gun on Storm and freaking wins cool. The checkered.
Oh, are you kidding me? One of the coolest moments in Pixar fucking history. This was fantastic. And it looked really so cool. Awesome. And I love that she's the one that did it. It was so cool.
It's true. All the other racers, after she wins, they give her the props. She takes the victory lap and Lightning tells her to give the crowd a little smoke, which she does. And then she coughs. And he's like, you'll get used to that. Don't worry about it. So similar to the first time I smoked my first Marlboro Light when I was 13 years old. And I was like, I don't like this, but I'll do it for fucking 30 years anyway.
Wait, real quick. Robert Duvall is still alive.
Is he still alive? Yeah. Okay, I took a shot.
God, Richard minded, man.
Damn, dude.
I love the little kid that's a Lightning fan. Then he becomes Ramirez fan.
That was that was a great scene when he when we first see it and then he switches over.
So good. Love it. Then somehow Lightning wins the race too. And it's like, oh, okay, that's nice. So Sally, being the lawyer, tells Sterling that Lightning can decide his own future. And then Tech steps in to work out a deal, billionaire to billionaire, before Lightning can even think about racing again. He's like, I got something I gotta do. So we rallies everyone back over Radiator Springs for an exhibition match between him and Cruz. Only they both have new paint jobs this time. Cruz is wearing HUD's old number 51 as an old homage to Lightning's mentor, and Lightning is wearing the fabulous Lightning McQueen paint job as her new pit chief, which is awesome. Turns out Tech spot Rusty's from Sterling. He's like, I made him an offer, he can't refuse. We gave him a lot of money. It's like, that's nice. And Lightning has his drip pan and he's taking his nap. It's time to race. Everything is good. And then we get a montage of Cruz and Lightning winning a ton of races together. And I have to disagree with Tim here. I don't think he races again. I think
he definitely doesn't. I just rewatched the little end credit stuff. It doesn't show him racing
again. It's confusing because he has a moment where he goes, oh, I'm definitely going to race again, but before I do. And then he goes off to and then the next scene we see him being a pit crew. So I'm like, I don't think he's ever, I never got the feeling like he was going to race against Cruz.
No, he was done. He's old and he needs to stop. And that's exactly what Pixar wants you to know.
That's
He did not retire. He's still a racer. He's a non-retired racer. Whether or not he races again on camera doesn't matter. What we know is he's not retired.
Is this like The Rock is like still a wrestler even though he hasn't wrestled in forever?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody.
No,
that's a perfect example.
It's different. No, it's though. Like
it's exactly the same.
Yeah, wrestling is not the same as if The Rock was still on a football team, he would get used every 5 years or something.
I don't know what point you're trying to make.
Let us know in the comments below. He's saying that racing is a real sport.
That's true. That's
sports entertainment, which is easier to dip your toe back into every once in a while because you don't have to stay in top tier athletic shape.
Right.
And I think that is what this movie is about, though. It's about him being like, I can't compete anymore. So I have to find another meaning in life, which is to be someone's mentor and bring up the next generation. Well, either way, if in Tim's brain, Lightning is like, no one's looking, I'm going out there and fucking racing under the pseudonym Lightning McTim.
I mean, my read on it is way more. It's like he doesn't need to be number one. He doesn't need to win. He still wants to race because it is fun for him and he enjoys it.
No,
and he's also going to teach the new thing and have her be number one.
Yeah,
you
but
don't
that's
go,
like
you don't go and race to be number 50.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's what would happen. so much of the people that swapped out were significantly faster than them because they used different techniques. Had he learned those techniques, maybe he'd have a chance, but she sabotaged him.
It's new stuff, man. New stuff.
I think he just like does like fun races at Radiator Springs, like you see at the end.
Maybe. And, like, I think it is like
pro races.
That's no
fun. Like official races.
That's the thing.
I think he does whatever he wants because he's lighting fucking McQueen.
Except for racing at the top spots.
Damn.
Like, isn't it like a golfer retires from like pro golfing? But he still goes out.
You can go to the.
It's 18 holes or I don't know what the.
Well, you go to the seniors tour, right? There's a seniors tour where you go with all your old buddies and it's like, you're going to win, but nobody really cares because it's not the top competition. It's just for fun.
Yeah, they don't have that for racers though. You know what I mean?
In this world, they might be. Maybe they go collect all the old mufflers they cut off people, sell them, and they fund one race a year.
They entirely do. They'll have racers come back and like just to like sell more tickets and stuff because people just want to see them go around the circle one more time. You know what I mean?
I don't know why you're taking this so personal, Tim. At the end of this,
well, it's because it makes a big difference between the reads of the movie of like the point the movie's actually trying to say, which is you don't need to retire.
He definitely retires,
I definitely
though.
I think he retires.
It's very clear that he becomes her pit manager, and there's nothing wrong with being the pit boss.
Mutually exclusive.
They're not
retire. Yeah,
I think they are.
But
though,
there's
because
no
there's
evidence.
Only, like,
there's
all
no
year
evidence.
You have to be someone's pit boss. It's not like he's like
he's not
sneak
training
away
on
this
his
weekend.
Own. Yeah,
he's not getting a break. Like, what's he? I guess he could race in the off season, but he's not racing.
Or he
could
race the
not,
next season.
That's
he
not,
can take this season off.
That's not
you can take 20 seasons
you're just
off.
Totally making up some headcanon
no,
shit
not,
and then getting
not
mad.
At all.
Yeah, you are.
He does not retire. That's
also, I will say in the Wikipedia, there's nothing that says that he retires.
He doesn't.
Cars 3.
He's done racing professionally.
The fact that the whole movie builds up that he's going to retire and then he doesn't retire.
And also, the dude that he made a deal with is no longer the owner of a company of the company.
You're
so
adding
it's not
all,
like that,
a whole bunch of like technicalities.
I'm adding list. Technicalities.
All I'm saying is he doesn't retire.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like
he does.
It's one of those things where it's like he doesn't retire, but he doesn't fight. It's like Sugar Ray Leonard, right? Where it's like, I'm not technically retired. Maybe I'll come out of retirement, but then I'll retire again. But then I'll and then it's like.
But here's the thing: there will probably be a Cars 4 where they have him race one more time, much like Rocky Balboa.
One
it's an exhibition
time.
Stuff, and that might prove Tim right. But until then, Tim's wrong. And look at how dumb he is.
I don't think anyone's wrong.
Look, hear me out here. Right. Hear me out. Like what I'm saying is the whole point of the Sterling character is like, yo, you're gonna retire and you're just gonna sell a bunch of toys and shit. Like that's all you're going to do. That is him retiring.
Good life. We can all agree he should have done that.
Yeah, that would have been a
fine. He doesn't do that.
The fuck in.
He instead becomes Doc Hudson for the next generation.
Yes, he does that. But
right.
he does that in addition to not retiring from racing.
That's
he can come
you're
back
delusional.
He will come
you're
back
so,
in Cars 4. I
he will
he
come back. You. He will come back in Cars 4, but I think that it'll start with, like, he hasn't raced in 20 years.
No,
which
he'll
is fair.
He'll be the mentor, and they'll have a whole
which
younger
is
host of Cars people. And they'll be like, wow.
You really think we're going to really get a Cars 4?
I think there's a good chance that we're going to get a Cars 4.
Well, we'll eventually. Have to wait and see. But until then, of course, we get the credits and we get a lot of cool pictures of them winning races together. And a lot of that stuff's mirrored from when he was on the top of his game from Act One. And then
I like the side by side.
And, you know, we get a great, just a banging post-credit sequence here where Mater can't figure out how to answer his phone.
Waste of time.
And that is a
probably
waste of resources.
Probably the worst post-credit scene in Pixar history.
He was hooking up with the car, right?
Miss Fritter?
Yeah, Miss Fritter. Like, I thought that was a fun little, like, all right, he's getting that dipstick dirty, huh?
He's getting his toe hook.
Joey, hooked. I need you to be cool about it, all right?
Timmy's
I said it. I didn't think about it too much, and it sounded grosser than I wanted it to be.
Yeah, the dipstick. Timmy's going to get his toe hook.
What?
Hooked.
Oh. Oh, God, it was... Oh, man. Start for a little thing I like to call Haiku in Review. Nick, hit the song.
No, that's it. Seven syllables in the middle. You got five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to sweat it. Haikus don't need to rhyme, but the better if they do. Haiku in Review. The better if they do. Haiku in Review. Everybody know.
They do.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form. Joe Mertens writes in and says, Crazy Yates is nuts with Chester Whipplefilter. I've got a new hat. Zade Wilson says, had never seen this. After Cars 2, it has no right. being this thoughtful. Dan H says, a boring movie. Why no Sally and Mater? Cars is Pixar's worst.
Damn.
I disagree with that one. I
think it's and then worst. Lee Palero says, surprisingly fun. Less Mater, more Miss Fritter. Probably no Cars 4.
Mm. But maybe.
But maybe. And now it's time for... after
20 years, he starts racing again.
Ragu Bagu.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys for Pixar in Review. This list getting long, not quite as long as one of Greg's lists, so just remember that when it comes time to vote for who your favorite podcaster is, holler at your boy and Lightning McTim. I don't know. I'm sure that'll happen at some point. Maybe it'll happen in the comments below. Right. Maybe it'll happen on our Wikipedia pages. Who knows? Number one, Lotsa. Number two, Prospect. Number three, Newswater. Number four, Hopper. Number five, Ercole. Number six, Syndrome. Number seven, Months and the Dogs. Number eight, Ego. Number nine, Darla. Number 10, Woody. Number 11, and Sid. Number 11, Gabby. Number 12, Hardscrabble and the Roars. Number 13, Otto from Wally. Number 14, Mordu. Number 15, The Muddy Water and the Pterofactyls. Just like Christ with monsters. Chicken Hebrew.
Muddy water. Muddy water. That's really funny. That's very funny.
16 is Chick and Hubris from Cars. 17 is Axelrod and the Lemons from Cars 2. 18 is Joy in San Francisco from Inside Out with an asterisk. And 19, the fear of getting lost in a department store from Finding Dory.
Mm-hmm. Not applicable where did we went with 19.
Yeah, that was also asterisk. That was also asterisk.
I don't know. I like the villain we have on there for.
Well, Jackson Storm's a good old fashioned villain. So where do we want to put him?
Not super high, right?
No, but he's a good old fashioned like just dickhead.
What was 15? What was 15?
The Muddy Water and the Pterofactyls.
I think he's less under that than Cars 1.
Yeah, I think Michael Keaton was a better,
yeah,
bad guy because he was more fun.
And he wins at the end.
Is he better than the Lemons from Cars 2?
Yes.
Okay. There you are. Jackson Storm, there we go, number 17.
I don't know. Because really? I kind of liked the like secret you didn't know who he was. And like I think the motivations of that. I mean, I'm a little rusty because it's been a few weeks since Cars 2. That he's like the oil or the gas company. And like that's why. I think that's a better story than like just this fast car. Like he doesn't have like a ton of like character. But he was
Joey, he was a fast douchey car that gets in your head.
Exactly.
You know, I'm looking more at Sterling too. And I like Sterling because he's
less Sterling the bad guy as much as
it's less of a twist. I think he is actually the bad guy when we're looking at the plot of the main character stories. And when it comes to like, he is the thing in the way of her being able to race and all that. Like just the decisions he makes and like talks and stuff.
Yeah. I'll give
so that. With that, I'd put that above debatably, even above Chick in Cars 1, but I don't think that it's strong enough either way, but I do think it's better than the Lemons.
All right. We'll keep it at 17. That'll be a fun compromise. And there you go. We hit 20 on this list.
Is that a fun compromise? But all right.
I'm a fan of that compromise.
That's a good compromise.
Kev, can you bring up the rankings so far?
No. Wait, right? I don't have it. Last week's ranking didn't change. Give me one second. Let me see. Sorry, I didn't prep for this because I thought we weren't.
I mean, we're still going to lock in where our votes are at this week, and then we'll go through with Andy.
Okay.
Next, so while Kevin's doing that, the asterisks on the last two are not applicable, right? Not really applicable. Is that what we're saying the asterisks is?
Yes.
Just on the last one, right? Now, one we did put somewhere.
Well, Joy in San Francisco, we said were not really applicable because they were like, there wasn't really an antagonist in that one.
Yeah.
And then there's not really an antagonist in Finding
Dory. I missed that episode. Why was San Francisco on the enemy list?
Because San Francisco is a fucking endless hell of fog that's scary and smells like pee-pee.
Is that addressed in the movie?
Sorry, no, I think we're just kind of bringing in some of our own stuff.
I didn't know if it was you guys were like anti the broccoli on pizza, and that's where you guys are mad at San Francisco.
Yeah, that was which is an East Bay thing. We want to add. We want to make sure to put that in there. Yeah, that's an East Bay thing. Bullshit. Yeah, don't
I will
come.
Say that green meat machine pizza from whatchamacallit, really good with broccoli on it.
Are you talking about Square Pie Guys?
Yeah.
No.
So, true. I just wanted to clarify that. Sorry.
Please tell us the story. It's time to rank the Pixar movies. With Andy gone, we're just going to lock in where we think our votes would be for this, and we will figure out all the math next time when Andy returns. Currently, number one, we have Up. Number two, we have Monsters, Inc. Number three, Finding Nemo. Number four, The Incredibles. Number five, Wall-E. Number six, Toy Story 3. Number seven, Inside Out. Number eight, Toy Story 2. Number nine, Toy Story 4. Number 10, Toy Story. Number 11, Luca. Number 12, Ratatouille. Number 13, Monsters University. Number 14, Cars. Number 15, A Bug's Life. 16, Good Dinosaur. 17, Brave. And 18, Cars 2. Kevin Coelho, start us off.
Kick it. If I may.
You may.
I think that this movie is better than Good Dinosaur and not as good as A Bug Life. A Bug's Life.
Kevin? I wholeheartedly agree.
Thank you.
Out of my brain.
That's it. We're all in here. That's it. We don't, Nick, Tim, we don't even need your opinion.
We don't need Andy. Let him stay in Texas. Kill him if we have to.
Joey, Nick, and Kevin all put.
Wait, hold on. Where would you put it, Tim?
16. Well, I'm just letting it, you know, number 16.
Suspense, Kevin.
Well, under A Bug's Life and above A Good Dinosaur. I would put it at number 11, under Toy Story and above Luca. I think this movie has a lot of heart and does a good job with two heartfelt stories.
What a terrible take.
Better than what?
Everyone Can Cook.
Joey?
I just know what I think it's just me thinking that Ratatouille is just criminally low on this list. So this that's movie, a little like, shocker.
It's better than Ratatouille.
No
fairly handily. But anyways, that is my thoughts. We'll have to wait for Andy, but I don't think anything can move it above 16 if he tried, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But this week, we're returning for In Review for the DCEU with The Suicide Squad by James Gunn. I'm very, very excited for that. And then next week, we're going to do a mini In Review 1 week with both installments of a franchise. Don't Breathe, the horror movie. Don't Breathe 1 will be on Tuesday, and then Don't Breathe 2 will be on Friday. If you want to be there for the recording, of course, it's on Monday for number one, and number two will be on Friday afternoon. Very exciting stuff. Go do your homework. Watch Don't Breathe 1 before the weekend is over, and then watch Don't Breathe 2 in theaters next Thursday to watch with us on Friday. Very exciting stuff. But until then, let us know in the comments below what you thought of Cars 3, and know that I love you.